You are listening to, whoa, that's loud. You're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Animatronic Dinosaurs. I am Ali Rosen, joined by, oh, wait. There's your
Joshua
mic.
Joshua Nolan.
Hey there. So, this is going to be a shout out to Dad. Dad, can you hear me right now? All right. Well, we'll get that text hopefully soon.
Did you post Facebook?
I have not. Can you do the Facebook post now, Josh?
I don't have access to it.
I will do the Facebook post then. So, Josh, why don't you just talk?
All right. Well,
don't bring up Guardians just yet. It's going to be just talk about your week and such.
All right. It was fun. What did I see?
Oh yeah. What did we see this week?
What did we see this
outside
week?
Of Guardians 2?
Outside of Guardians 2, nothing. I saw Guardians, well, I mean, it's 14
been,
times.
It's been a good years. It's been a good.
It's
thank
been a
you,
good week. Yeah.
Thank you, Dad. It's been a good. What I want to say, 3 or 4 weeks since our last show. I know Matt.
Really?
Matt and his friend hosted the show during
that's
the weekend
true,
of the spring
true.
Concert. So it has been, I believe.
Been a while. Yeah, I rewatched Edge of Tomorrow last night with my friend. It was his first time seeing it, and he was adamant
about
not watching.
It's been like
it.
3 or 4 weeks since we. Yeah. I don't think we've seen since the Fate episode.
Fate was great, though.
Yeah, Fate was great.
Train to Busan. I saw that on a Tuesday with the school.
Finally, dude.
It was so good.
One of the best zombie movies in the last 10 years.
What a ride. That was incredible. Oh, my goodness. That was a really good zombie movie. And I don't really like zombie movies because, like, they're scary, but that one was just perfect. Thriller, and it had the romance, and it was funny. Yeah. That was great. Obviously, we saw Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one. Had to. I saw The Expendables again. Dude, I love those movies. They're so bad.
I have only seen number 2.
Oh, my goodness. They're so bad, but they're so good. I saw the first one. I'm watching the second one sometime. Yeah, that's about it. I rewatched London Has Fallen. I don't know why I'm watching all these really bad action movies. Yeah. I was wearing my AMC London Has Fallen shirt, and so my friend's like, dude, let's watch it. I was like, yes, a great idea. And it was not a good idea, let me tell you. But, you know, we watched it, so yeah. Faster, great movie with The Rock. I would actually highly suggest this one. You look at it, and it looks like a, from the outside, it just looks like a racing car movie, a, you know, sort of Fast and Furious-ish movie. But in fact, it's actually got a great story. It's got a great buildup of his character, of The Rock's character. So yeah, that's a good one. It's called Faster. I think it was from 2008. And yeah, that's what I've seen. I also saw some like Paul Robeson films, but yeah.
Oh, okay. So you got some Robeson in there?
Yeah.
That's that
Proud
was
Valley. Good movie.
So let's see. Ooh, oh boy, it's been since Fate. Wow. Okay. Actually, yeah, I've seen a lot in the past like month or so that we'll touch on here. One sec. I've got to tell my friends. Hi, I'm on the radio.
Let me see if I had anything else from before 2 weeks. I've been keeping up my movie list, but for the past week I haven't put them on because I've been studying for finals and stuff. I didn't have time to. But ooh, Dunkirk has an official trailer. That's cool.
That we saw the trailer in Guardians 2.
Yeah.
All right. So cool. Let's see. Well, La La Land, the Blu-ray came in. Saw that.
Nice. Finally, didn't invite me, but it's okay.
Finally saw Doctor Strangelove.
Oh, how was that?
I mean, it's pretty
it's
wacky. I love Stanley Kubrick. It's wacky. Finally got a chance to see that. So I saw Once. Old, the same director as
Once.
Sing Street. It was
really?
His first movie. This is like a...
How does it compare to Sing Street, though?
Well, I mean, I love Sing Street, and I don't think Once is as good, but that's
because... Once, 2007?
Once is like the... Once is the equivalent... Is the... Once is the Clerks equivalent of Sing Street.
Okay.
It's like
okay.
made kind of Clerks style where there's low...
Yeah, yeah.
Where there isn't many, like...
Yeah.
It isn't great... and there are, it's got it's got like indie film situations where I think it was made on a $100,000 budget.
Oh,
but,
wow. That's not indie.
I think it might have won an Oscar to a point. I mean, $100,000 is totally indie. I think below, I don't know what, I mean.
Awards, Oscar winner for best achievement in music written for motion pictures original score.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
So it wasn't one of the, like, Oscar.
If you guys
it
haven't noticed, I'm very, very sick right now.
Yeah.
But
cool.
Yeah, Once is like that. I mean, I know a lot of fans of this film. My dad, giant fan of Once. It is, it's got a really good story. I mean, it was even made into a Broadway musical. So that's got that going for me.
That's
Steven
really
Spielberg.
Cool.
The year this came out in 2007, Steven Spielberg went out and said Once was his favorite movie of 2007.
Wow, and that's big.
I saw the original Dracula with
the original,
yeah,
from like
with
60s
Bela
or
Lugosi,
right?
Yes. No, from the 40s.
From the 40s, okay, yeah.
I saw Suspiria, which is one of my... Dario Argento. Is this just really, really... Apparently, it's super hard to find, but it is a... I mean, our school luckily has a copy of it, but it is this just old horror movie. Very inspirational. I loved it so much. I'm sure this is dabbed with the text about Once. Once budget, $180,000... 180,000 euros, which is nothing... I mean...
Yeah, 180,000 euros?
To then get an Oscar for it, like,
yeah.
But I mean,
right, because it would be production, yeah.
Well, like, just
what other films in the past 2 years, like big Hollywood, have gotten Oscars besides like
big
La La
Hollywood?
Land? Yeah, like big Hollywood.
Arrival, Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay, I'm thinking like Mad Max Fury
Inception,
Road.
Inception. Inception. The Dark Knight won an Oscar.
The Dark Knight. Okay, yeah. I'm thinking like superhero. All
right,
action,
we're gonna look it up right now.
Yeah.
89th
I love it when like. Mad Max or Dark Knight or like those type of movies get an award because it's like,
I mean
love it when really bad action movies, superhero movies with Will Smith and Cara Delevingne get it. What? Who said that?
That's not Will Smith. It's Dane DeHaan and Cara Delevingne. Oh, you're talking.
I'm talking Suicide Squad.
Oscar winning Suicide Squad. You know
no,
what?
No, never say that again,
dude.
Please.
No, it's. I mean, what it won an Oscar for, it deserved an Oscar for.
Oh yeah,
I had that to win for my pick.
I was hoping Star Trek hasn't gotten any Oscars, like the recent ones.
That's I mean
they're not great.
I know. I mean, 2009 is great.
2009's awesome. Yeah.
Let's see, large Hollywood blockbusters with come on. Oh my gosh, I cannot stand ads on websites anymore. They are so aggravating. All right,
it is what it is.
Some Oscar best. Top 20 blockbuster best picture winners. Rain Man,
okay,
1988.
Okay.
Dances with Wolves, 1990. Yep. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest grossed almost $5 billion. Great
wow.
movie, too.
Wow.
Bridge on the River Kwai almost
what,
grossed.
Wait, who's that? Who's in there? Jack Nicholson, right?
Yeah. These are all just for inflation. Best Year of Our Lives, gross adjusted. Rocky, blockbuster.
Of course.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Okay.
West Side Story. These are all ones that grossed, like, The Greatest Show on Earth. These are all ones that grossed near $5 billion adjusted. My Fair Lady, Lord of the Rings, all three nominated for Best Picture.
I love that.
Return of the King won.
Dude, Lord of the Rings are so good.
Forrest Gump grossed $655 million
adjusted. Wow.
The Godfather, $659 million. The Sting with
The Sting is a great movie. Have
young
you seen
Robert
The Sting?
Redford, yeah. $744 million.
That's Robert Redford?
Ben-Hur, $800 million. Wow. Titanic, $1.13 billion.
Okay, yeah. All right, Titanic. Yeah, all right.
Sound of Music, $1.18 billion.
Wait,
Gone with
wait,
the Wind.
Titanic is better than...
Adjusted. These are all adjusted for inflation.
But
Gone with the Wind is the highest grossing movie adjusted for inflation.
Wait, but...
This is also only domestic.
Sound of Music is...
Only domestic.
Oh, okay.
Only domestic.
Because I was going to say, I study that top films
and then Gone with the Wind. I mean, say what
Gone
you
with
want.
Gone with the Wind is 2.7 adjusted?
1.68 domestic adjusted.
Oh, I mean, I'm talking about... Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah, like, it happens.
Yeah.
So, we have... I saw Night of the Living Dead. Finally saw that.
Nice.
I rewatched La La Land again.
Well, La La Land is such a great movie.
Saw Texas Chainsaw the Beginning, Time Bandits, Scanners, Amazing Spider-Man 2, the first Transformers movie, Kingsman, The Aviator, Age of Innocence, Halloween 2, Captain America Winter Soldier, AVP Requiem, Guardians of the Galaxy 1, The Departed, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Hugo, and then we finally saw our new movie.
Hugo was the one in the clock tower, right?
Yeah, that's... I mean, I saw a lot
is
of Scorsese.
A good film?
Yes.
All right.
It's
do you want to do a showing of La La Land? Do you want to try to do a showing of La La
Land?
We're
not going to be able to, dude.
Dude, we have next...
There's reasons why I've been talking with people why we can't show movies, but we can get to that another time.
Oh, because... Yeah, all right.
Because of publishing stuff.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to have to... Josh is going to have to entertain you guys for like 5 to 10 minutes because I have to step out.
Ooh, I don't know if I can do that.
So, Josh, why don't you just rant on for the next... 10 or so minutes about...
10 minutes.
Whatever you want.
Okay, then it's going to be Marvel, dude.
Go it. Rant about Marvel. No spoil. Do not spoil Guardians of the Galaxy 2 at all. Don't even talk about it. But...
Don't even talk about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I've got to step out for 10 minutes. I'll be back.
All right. Let's see if I can do this. All right.
Just rant.
All right, right now I'm bringing up the Marvel Cinematic Universe timeline. So all I'm going to say about Guardians 2 is go see it. But you really also need to be a diehard Marvel fan to watch it. The first one's amazing. If you haven't seen it yet, go see it. It took the world by storm when it came out. I think it has a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes, something crazy like that. Yep, a 91. And then remember, this is a superhero movie, so that's really good. Guardians is fabulous as well. But yeah, so go see. I mean, this is, it really is the era of the superhero movie. I mean, okay, yeah, DC's not doing too hot. But, you know, the new Marvel, I mean, the new Wonder Woman movie, let's not count that out. That looks like a great movie. Great story. I mean, Chris Pine looks awesome in it. And, of course, Gal Gadot is going to be amazing. But, yeah, it is the era of the superhero movie. I mean, okay, in reality, it's the era of Marvel, because Marvel is kind of dominating right now. But I'm not counting out DC. People are, but I'm not gonna count them out yet. So yeah, go see all the Marvel movies. Started in 2008, I believe, with Iron Man. 2008. Incredible Hulk. The first Iron Man movie is incredible. It's just a great story on its own. Go see that if you haven't seen it yet. And this is just building up the universe. And all right, here's what I love about Marvel. I love that it's able to, in each of these movies, even though they're superhero movies, they build up the characters, and people may argue with me about this, about how there's no character build up and there's no backstory. But I mean, Captain America, the first Avenger, great. That's one of the greatest introductions to a superhero character ever. I mean, we'll talk about Batman, Dark Knight, but yeah, it's Captain America is a great movie, and it starts off in a completely different environment than the other ones. Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, they're all on Earth at the present day. Thor is present day elsewhere, and then he goes to Earth in the present day. And then Captain America, you just jump backwards to, like, the, I don't know, the 20s? The 40s. I'm voting 40s, because I think there were Nazis. But, yeah. Yep, 1942. But yeah, so Captain America's great. Iron Man, go see Iron Man. Great movie, especially if you're an engineer, because it will, or don't see if you're an engineer, because you'll want to build an Iron Man suit. I know I did. And then, so you have all these movies: Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, and then you get the Avengers. And the Avengers grossed some ridiculous amount. I think over $1 billion. Over 1.5 billion worldwide. And so it's, you have all these characters that are built up in their own separate movies, and then they bring them together. And I don't see, there's never really been that before. There's never been separate movies that then come together. There has been an Entourage movie with a bunch of characters, and then they split off and they get their own movies. But there's never been one where the whole plan is introduce them in separate movies and then bring them together. And I mean, they're doing it right. Suicide Squad tried to do that a little bit. They had Man of Steel, and then they jumped right into Batman v Superman. Didn't work. I mean, it did work because they made a lot of money, but it didn't work because it wasn't as good as the Marvel movies. But, I mean, people are trying to do that now. They're trying to build up these universes. Even Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters is supposedly part of a shared universe. Godzilla and King Kong, those are part of their own universe. And, I mean, that one's going to probably work because it's only two characters. Godzilla, King Kong, and then it's going to be Godzilla versus King Kong. But Marvel is leading the pack in every way possible. I mean, I don't even know. Let me see. How much did Guardians of the Galaxy 2 make so far? It made $140 million domestic, which means combined with worldwide, it's already going to make its budget back. And this is a crazy expensive movie. Let's see. Budget was $200 million. Wow. Yeah. They 1.5 their budget. Maybe even more. Probably not as much because, I mean, the comics are more of an American thing. But, yeah. And then after the Avengers, they had more solo movies. They had Iron Man 3, more build-up of Iron Man. And that was actually a really good movie. It developed his character more and who he is, and it kind of shaped who he is in the next few movies. Thor the Dark World, yeah, that's not great, but it's just more universe building. All of these are built, and every single one of these movies, every Marvel fan knows this, all of these movies are building up to the Avengers Infinity Wars. I mean, it's going to be amazing. We have Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, and then we get to Infinity War. And Infinity War is going to be the top of the top. This is going to be the movie. I think it's going to gross more than any of the other Marvel movies. I think it's going to make like $1.7 billion. I don't know. Maybe it's a lofty estimate, but I can believe it. It's coming out in next year. Wow. So yeah. But anyway, Marvel is obviously one of my favorite franchises. Probably my favorite franchise. And there's a reason for it. Characters, development. And also, it's so reliable. Every year, you get two or three great movies. Right now, they're looking at just two. But this year, three are coming out. Because we have Homecoming and then Ragnarok in November. But yeah, it's just, it's reliable. It's reliable as heck. And I think for that reason, I would turn anybody on to Marvel. But yeah, go see Guardians 2. It's a ton of fun. We'll talk about it later. And yeah, go see Civil War. Even Civil War is fun. Doctor Strange is great. That's very universe building because people didn't... Okay, so when the first Guardians came out, nobody really knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were. Didn't know anything about... Nobody really read their comics. Everybody knew Iron Man. Everybody knew Captain America. Everybody knew the Hulk, but even though that movie was not very good. But nobody knew the Guardians. Yet, it came out. It took the world by storm. It was one of the best movies of the year, easily. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 just builds off that more. Sure, it's not as... I'm trying to think of the word. I don't know. It's not as unique as the first one. It's not as novel as the first one because everybody already knew who the Guardians were because they had the first Guardians movie, but it's still great. And I think it would have been better if it was like the first one where nobody knew about it, but, you know, what can you do? It's still going to make a lot of money. Yeah, see Guardians 2. See Spider-Man when it comes out. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, that's about all I got from Marvel.
Right. Sorry that for that everyone.
Sorry, I just entertained them.
What did Josh leave all of you guys with?
I literally just talked about just Marvel and how Marvel is one of the greatest franchises ever right now. And it is the era of Marvel movies.
Yeah. Okay, well, sorry I couldn't provide a counter opinion for you there.
But it worked.
Let's talk about the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, yeah, so I started talking about how it's very novel. When it came out, it was groundbreaking. Nobody knew who they were. Everybody knew Iron Man. Everybody knew Captain America. Obviously, everybody knew the Hulk, but nobody really knew who the Guardians were.
I actually counter against you that not a lot of people knew who Iron Man was when Iron Man first came out.
Okay, everybody knew who the Hulk was.
But, like, okay, there was a decent knowledge of what these characters were. Like,
besides from the diehard fans.
No, but Iron Man was still in people's conscience, with the exception. Unlike, no one really knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It was one of those ones where it was when Marvel released like some sort of a slate, they're like, oh, this movie Guardians of the Galaxy, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody really knew who they were, but it did so well because it's such a great movie.
I believe it opened the same year as Winter Soldier, which... I love Winter Soldier.
I was saying that's one of the best introductions of a character because it's so different than the other ones that came before. The other ones are present day Earth and you're talking Winter Soldier, not Captain America: First Avenger. I like First Avenger better just because it's like the start, and that's a good one too.
I mean, I love
Bucky.
I don't love Bucky. I just love the powerfulness of the Winter Soldier in that.
Yeah.
So the first Guardians, we get introduced to all these characters. I personally think that, Guardians is one of my favorite movies in the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Well, 20 years. You know, all those years I've been alive, kind of.
Yeah.
My favorite, movie.
How old are you, Allie?
I guess that makes it the favorite movie I've ever seen in theaters.
Are you 20?
I'm not 20, I'm 19.
Then that is very impressive that you remember 20 years.
20 years of movies, all those ones I saw while in my mom's womb. Yeah. All right, so, yeah, the original Guardians, it was kind of groundbreaking with what they were. So
they were introducing these characters that nobody knew. They were... slapping them together, and it works.
Yeah, and like this is something that we talked about, the team up movie. They managed to introduce, give you all these characters and give them enough of an idea that we can understand who they are and just throw them together. We didn't get like a Groot movie by itself, which would have been, I don't know how much Groot could have carried his own movie.
I don't think so. Especially because he only says, "I am Groot."
I don't think any of these characters could carry their own movie.
I don't think so, no. Like, because the point is, they're the Guardians.
I think that's what separates them from the Avengers, is that the Avengers is based off of the fact that all of these characters can have and can support their own movies, and they come together and have it.
They come together and the craziness ensues.
Yes, but the Guardians themselves all, like, even a Rocket Groot team-up movie together, like, that kind of a thing was still
missing. It's missing Drax. It's missing...
Well, like, I mean, just, I feel like that those characters are foils to each other to, like, present each other with, like, challenge each other as characters and come, like, they wouldn't be able to work on their own just because of their...
Because the part of the Avengers is their challenge is working together toward a goal. I mean, and Guardians are there together. They're a family.
I mean, they are working. That is something that we'll definitely talk about overall today, is that one of the largest through lines of... Oh, something about France's momentous election. So one of the through lines through all the Guardians movies that kind of is made way more apparent in Guardians 2 is family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One is about Star-Lord and his connection to his mother, and that's like a large portion of what it is, and his lack of having a family because he got abducted.
Yeah.
Second one, we'll get into that later. So, speaking of later, let's talk Guardians 2. So we're going to not spoil anything, so you do not have to worry if you haven't seen it. We're going to do a larger segment later where we're going to spoil the whole thing, and it's going to be a lot longer than our usual spoiler talk. So in that case, don't be worried about stepping out for this section. We got you right now. We're going to talk. No spoilers at all. Guardians 2.
Guardians 2. First thing, there are 5 end credit scenes. I repeat, 5 end credit scenes.
Yeah,
so watch them all.
Stay the whole time.
Yeah.
Those end credit scenes, though, I'd say.
Pretty hyped.
But they were hyped because I explained what they meant to you.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they're going to be ones that most people probably won't understand. So, I guess, like, if you are a Marvel fan, stay for all 5. We're not going to say any more about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this will be an... I honestly find that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is going to be polarizing for people. Loved it. Hands down say I love this movie.
I cried a little. First time I watched it, I cried a little at the end.
I won't
you
say
didn't.
That. You didn't. I didn't.
I did. I teared up.
Not like Logan.
I'm not going to lie. Of course not like Logan.
Logan, I cried the entire second half of the movie.
Logan was real. Guardians just had one really heartfelt scene.
Yeah, I wouldn't say one really. I think it was... This one really starts to... Every character, I feel, got their moment in this. A lot more of a moment than they did in the first one. And this one really explores each character's relationships with other characters in the universe, not just their relationships with the other Guardians.
Yeah. It really developed Rocket. That was good.
Rocket was great. And I don't want to, like... I really feel... I'm hesitant on saying anything about this because of the... Because of the nature of spoilers, I don't want to really spoil too much. Like, I don't not spoil too much. I don't want to spoil anything for people. I want people to go see this instead. It explores these relationships with their characters, which is something that it goes into that a lot more. I can understand some people's faults with the movie. It is
very violent.
I wouldn't say it's very violent.
There's a lot of death.
One thing I noticed in it is that it was a lot raunchier than the
first
one.
That's true.
Like, they make many raunchy jokes that are not okay for, like...
Yeah.
Like,
is it R?
No. It's PG-13. Okay. There's never going to be a Marvel movie rated R.
I mean, yeah, they can't. Yeah, that's true.
But, like, James Gunn did push that a lot. There was a lot of dirty jokes in this that I think that... Yeah, most little kids probably won't understand, but like way more than there were. Like, then you get the Jackson Pollock painting joke from the first one, like that. But there's like 10 of them.
Yeah.
So that kind of took me by a surprise. But then there was it didn't feel like it was like the first Guardians was very, very, I'd say, formulaic in a way.
In a way,
that there
yeah,
are it
yeah.
is very structured well. Its writing is fantastic. And I'm not gonna say this one isn't at all. I'm just saying that there were at times there's just weird pacing in it at times.
Yep.
Like, there's this entire section in the middle where this one character that we don't want to get into because it spoils stuff. starts like monologuing and does a giant exposition drop, which I thought was not the best call, considering of how, after rewatching the first one, how well the first one does it not just dropping exposition on you. Like, a great example in the first one is when they're, so you see Peter Quill get abducted, but you don't really know. Then, like, they, so they show right before the thing, they show him get abducted, and then they focus in on his tape recorder, on his like tape player.
Yeah.
And then the next shot you see is that tape player on older Peter Quill's body. And that is an instant thing to say, these are the same people.
Yeah.
Like, that's, instead of saying, oh, I was abducted when I was a kid, is the first thing that Peter Quill says. It just shows this tape recorder and instantly connects the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was something that this one, I can say, struggled with a bit.
Yeah.
It was just a little, it needed to explain a lot, which I don't think was the good call.
Yeah. But it had to. I don't think it could have explained that whole story with just, like, showing tape recorders. I don't think they could have done that because of kind of the nature of how this character is made.
Let's see. There's every character really got its moment. There were some, this one's also, it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
And it
makes fun of itself. It's aware of what
it is. It's gut-bustingly hilarious. From the opening, they open with the opening title cards are, like, amazing. Even those are something that's like, I don't want to tell you what the opening title cards are, so you should be surprised by them.
Yeah.
The Awesome Mix Volume 2.
A little lacking. Compared to the first one, I'd say it's a little lacking. It's great.
Yeah, but it's not like I'm not going to be listening. Well, because it wasn't surprising, which is why the first one was good. And I think that's what, I don't think that there's any way Awesome Mix Volume 2 could have been as good as Awesome Mix Volume 1 just because of the first one was just such a surprise. You didn't get that sense of surprise. You felt like they retread the same ground as the first one a lot with like a lot of the comedy and a lot of the look and a lot of the interactions. Yep. And it was kind of disheartening at first because you're like, oh, come on, give me something new. But the more that went into the story and such, you started getting stuff new, and that other stuff just like, no, like the reason, one of the reasons Guardians 1 is so beloved is because of how much of a surprise it was. And the second one, that surprise isn't there.
I was saying, because Guardians, the second one is not, the first one did so well because nobody expected it to do well in a way.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, it's a Guardians movie. It's expected to do well.
And I think that
it will, but it's just not as, wow, it's groundbreaking.
I'm sure that, as sequels go, this is one of the better Marvel sequels. I'm not going to say it's a Winter Soldier good, because I think Winter Soldier is the only Marvel sequel that is much better than its predecessor. I know you disagree, but
yeah.
I think the Winter Soldier is still the best Marvel sequel, because, what do we have? Age of Ultron.
I like Age of Ultron, it's not a great sequel.
I think it's fine.
I think it's a lot of fun.
Thor 2, I think, is as good as the first one. I enjoy Thor 2 a lot.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I think that's the most forgettable of the Marvel movies, Thor 2.
I would say that about Captain America 1 and Thor 1. Mm-hmm. But I think those two in themselves yes, they are forgettable. That's also the one I think that...
But Thor 3! Woo-woo!
We'll see about that. So Avengers 2, Iron Man 2...
Iron Man 2's not... Iron Man 3.
I don't like Iron Man 3 that much.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like what they did with the bad villain.
2's just a bad villain.
3 is a bad villain. The Mandarin's a terrible villain.
Okay, yeah.
That's also true. A waste of a good... I was actually reading over... I was reading through the Demon in a Bottle story of Iron Man. It's this like really famous arc where Iron Man goes and he has to like fight his like alcoholism. And I guess, like, I can see where they were kind of doing that in Iron Man 2, but they really didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, Demon in a Bottle has, like, Justin Hammer and Whiplash in it. And I can, like, they really didn't. They didn't do Demon in a Bottle at all. Yeah.
And Whiplash 2, I didn't think the dude played Whiplash well. About, what's his name? The guy who plays Whiplash?
Mickey Rourke?
He's in Expendables.
Yeah. He's in action.
Everybody's in Expendables.
I don't really know if he's considered an action star. I don't think but, so. Iron Man 2, I think for it to have been successful, like if they wanted to make the Iron Man franchise better, they should have opened with Iron Man 1, gone through all of them, then Avengers 1, and then dropped Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2 being the actual Demon in a Bottle story, because once that's there, then there's like they have to bring in other characters. Namor is in Demon in a Bottle. They would have had to switch Namor out with like Hulk or something like that. But like I felt like one of the problems with Iron Man 2 is they were touching on Demon in a Bottle and stuff like this, but. Like the scene, one of the big ones is when Tony's all drunk and like beats up Rhodey.
Yeah.
They could have done that in phase two, because when they got to phase two, they felt so much more comfortable doing things that were out of the box, like larger storylines like Winter Soldier and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they need to get a little bit more out of the box, and I think they weren't comfortable yet with Iron Man 2 doing that, because they had just done Iron Man 1, Hulk, Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
And I don't think they felt comfortable enough doing that in Iron Man 2. And I think if they had waited, they could have done a significantly better storyline, roped in some more people. Because like we see in Phase 3, here we're about to see the Hulk in Thor 3, and we saw all the characters in Civil War. Yeah. And they felt comfortable like taking these storylines and still being able to represent these, but also adding in characters. And then also Whiplash would have taken a significantly larger backseat.
Yeah.
Iron Man does much worse things in Demon in a Bottle than he does in Iron Man 2. And then Iron Man 3 could have come in Phase 3, and we could have talked about, so he's created Ultron now, and Ultron, like, he's, like, not, they're worried about Ultron, stuff like this, and then Tony Stark gets face-to-face with the Mandarin, not fake Mandarin, like...
Yeah, the real
one. The real Iron Man, like, the real, real Mandarin, who would have, was, like, they were doing so many great things with Iron Man 3, and then the back half of that movie is just not good.
Yeah.
So if I that would have been that's my rant on how they could have better structured the Iron Man movies, because
I mean
the first one I believe is still the highest rated on Rotten Tomatoes for
first Iron Man for a Marvel movie.
Yeah, and I mean I
that Guardians was, is at 91 the first one.
Yeah, this is I think at a neither a low 80s or mid 70s. Let me pull up some Rotten Tomatoes. 92. That's my guess. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is at 81%.
Iron Man 2008.
All right, well, we got to talk about some other stuff in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Baby Groot.
94.
Baby Groot.
94%. Baby Groot was fun.
I thought they gave you just enough Baby Groot. I was worried that they was going to be the focus of everything. It was going to be
too much, yeah.
But they did not. They gave us just enough Baby Groot. In fact, there's less Baby Groot in this than there is Big Groot in the original.
I mean, Big Groot in the other one was, like, more developed. This one's just, oh, look at how cute he is, whereas Groot was actually part of the Guardians.
I think he's somewhat developed in this, and I think he's going to grow into it.
He's not part of the, he's not really part of the Guardians. They're all like, yeah, be careful, you know?
Yeah.
Like, leave me alone.
Because
like,
he's a child.
Yeah. So, like, but he can't really do stuff, and so... I think they did it right. I was hoping there wouldn't be a lot.
He is very comic relief.
Oh, yeah. But I can 100%.
Say every character in this is.
Yeah.
I think
him and Drax are the two comic reliefs.
Yeah, and Drax. I mean, Drax is hysterical.
Drax is great.
He's so funny in this.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of all we have for the spoiler-free section. So here we go. We're going to do some spoilers. Cool. So,
how long?
I'm gonna say give us 20 minutes worth of spoilers. 15 minutes.
It was hard to fill 10, dude. I'd say
10. It is 12:34 here.
12:50.
We're gonna say 12:50. So 12:35 here. 12:50. We'll be back. No more spoilers after at 12:50. So everyone's clocks hopefully are synced up. And spoilers in 3, 2, 1.
It was awesome.
Alright, so I think now with the spoiler warning lifted, we can talk about
Ego,
the living planet Ego.
Yeah.
I think
his backstory was important.
I don't know how they could have done it
better. I don't know how they could have done better, exactly.
But that was like a good 20-minute exposition drop. Yeah. I didn't like. I will say Ego, though, one of my favorite Marvel villains now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's something that they struggle with. I mean, Ronan's fine. He's not great from the first one.
Yeah, but he's also... Ego's scary.
Yeah.
Ego is powerful. And we haven't seen a... I don't know if we've really seen a really, 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 really powerful Marvel villain. I mean, obviously Thanos.
Thanos will be that.
And Ultron, Adam Warlock, too.
Ultron like, should have been.
Or yeah.
Ultron, Adam Warlock is kind of a pseudo villain. I don't even think he really is considered a villain.
I don't even know if they'll introduce him as a villain, but yeah.
I would think they're going to introduce Adam Warlock in probably a post-credit scene of Captain Marvel or in Captain Marvel.
Wait, but the next three movies that are coming out are Homecoming, Black Panther, and then Infinity Wars.
No, Homecoming, Black Panther, Thor 3, Infinity
Wars. And then
War.
Infinity Wars.
But yeah. Adam Warlock, from what I know, I think Infinity War will be them fighting Thanos, but no one will win. And then we get Captain Marvel, and then we get Avengers 4. We get like, there's like, I think...
Oh, so they're not doing part 1, part 2 anymore. They're just doing
3
Infinity
and 4,
War.
And they're going to be separate movies. But I think what I've been hearing is that 3 will be Infinity War, which is just them fighting. 4 is going to be the Infinity Gauntlet series, which is where we get Adam Warlock in this.
Yep. And Doctor Strange, and yeah.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, Doctor Strange, I think, is going to be...
Doctor Strange is going to be... But he's not going to be, like, the all-powerful.
Yeah. I think Strange might... I think Strange is confirmed to be in Thor 3.
No way.
Which would be awesome. All right, let's get back to Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Ego the Living Planet, I think, was a great villain. He had a tie to a character, and they... Well, it's not like... Part of the reason Loki's so good is because when Loki hits in the Avengers, he's already been set up for an entire movie already with Thor. And they, like, talk about Star-Lord's father in Guardians 1, and when he finally... We finally get him in 2, and... Well, what did you think of the turn of him to being a villain?
I mean, as soon as Mantis said, like, oh, there's... I need to tell you something, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, he's a bad guy.
And,
He also... It just... It didn't feel right, you know? There was, like, something going on.
Well, because... Okay, they open with a villain with, like... They open to try to make the like, fake villain Aisha as the gold people.
Yeah. But I never saw her as a villain. Well, she was just kind
of... Because I mean, a lot of the marketing is like, oh, Aisha is this villain. That's what they wanted to make it seem like. And so the marketing, they open up... The film opens up with that, and the inciting incident that causes this didn't seem like one that was worthy for a sequel, which is why instant red flag that Aisha isn't the main villain.
Yeah.
And also, like, the fights that they have with Aisha were played for comic effect. With, like,
oh, they were so fun in the arcades, like...
Yeah, I mean, I loved that. I loved all the...
Oh, so great.
I think that joke was fleshed out pretty well. I think that they played the whole losing the arcade thing a little too many times.
A little too much, yeah.
And I know a lot of people were upset, like, when Aisha comes out, they feel like it stops the movie. I didn't. I felt like it was fine.
When she comes out to the snow planet place?
I just felt like some people felt like whenever Aisha and the Sovereign appear, it stop feels like the movie makes a stop. I didn't feel that at all.
No.
I like that they brought Sly in, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
He is his character's small.
I wonder, do you think he'll be in other movies?
Yeah, no, they already confirmed he will be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think he's going to probably be big in Guardians 3. They are, okay, we got to talk about Yondu.
Yeah.
Yondu
is amazing.
He's probably the best part of this movie.
Easily.
So we talked about the overarching story in Guardians 2 is family. And I think that...
He's Quill's father, and we learn that he's Quill's, the real father.
He's
Quill's dad.
He's the one who raised him. It's like this, like, I think that was a really, really good message. Like, that's why, I mean, they tell a good message in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, because they show, okay, Quill's real father, Ego, is corrupt, and stuff like that. So in the end, we hear Quill has to sacrifice his own celestial power to defeat Ego. I don't know. I feel like...
Okay, so I was just real quick, right? Can he still hold the Infinity Stone with the other guys?
No.
Really?
I mean...
Is he completely...
He can probably still hold it across all four of them.
Yeah.
But I don't think he could have held on to it that long, like, because he's... I mean...
Yeah.
He's not
God. He wasn't on the planet. I think that he got his strength when he was on the planet. It was like the light burns inside, and so you'll be...
No, because that's the reason they say that he can hold the stone in the first place. In the end of Guardians 1, they're like, there's something in you that's more... That's not human.
Oh, okay.
But he loses because he's immortal. That's why I would have liked them to not have gotten rid of his power that quickly, because I would have liked going into Guardians Galaxy Volume 3 or Infinity War that, like, he is immortal. Or maybe the, like, if the sixth Infinity Stone was inside of Ego, like in Ego's planet, and then Thanos kills Ego at the start of 3, which would have been cool, but... And then Quill loses this ability to be immortal.
Don't we know where the sixth Infinity Stone is? I feel like we know.
No, we don't yet. We only know the first 5.
I feel like there's...
We've gone over this before. We got 10 minutes left for these spoilers. Let's keep talking.
Yeah. All right.
Yondu's death was great. I think that was... I knew it was him. He was going to die. Mantis might have...
Yeah.
Or Ego wouldn't have been evil and he would have died. I think those are the only 3 expendable characters, because I know that Nebula effect is insanely important in Infinity War.
Like, really?
One of the most important characters in Infinity War.
As Thanos' daughter.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and then her leaving at the end of this movie to go find Thanos is, like, probably gonna be touched on immediately at the start of Infinity War, which is gonna be nuts. And then, I knew she wasn't going to die. I knew they weren't going to kill Groot again. So that's dumb. I kind of thought that maybe, like, I didn't really think that there was a chance they would kill any of the actual Guardians, which left all which left like Yondu and Mantis, who's a brand new character, and then Ego, who once Ego turned evil. I'm like, well, Yondu's toast. But I think the way they brought him out, the way they had him go out was good. I mean, they gave him his new fin. Also, I think I liked.
He looked so good in that.
That's what he was supposed to originally look like. His turn good. I liked.
Yeah. I thought that the killing was a little much. Like, they destroyed everybody on the ship. Just like they just killed everybody, and it was for comic relief. But I don't know.
Oh, I thought that wasn't comic relief. I thought that all the like the mutiny that was going on was dark.
I mean, he's dark. No, I'm talking about when he kills everybody with the arrow.
Oh, I love that.
I loved it too, but I think it was like he just straight up murders everybody, and they're putting it in a good light, and I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, these are all anti-heroes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that whole scene where he murders everyone's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of fun, but still, yeah, it's still murdering a lot of people.
And so, I mean, you learn all this, like, really dark and depressing stuff about Star-Lord's father, about how he's been, that Star-Lord's just one of the many kids he's had. He's had, like, sex with every single race and has gotten every single species to try to create a baby that can actually hold his power, and all of them just die. And that's, like...
That's so weird.
I thought that he was, when they went on... I didn't know that that was going to be what it was when they went underground and saw all these dead
things,
creatures. I thought that it was.
I thought that was powering his immortality. He was taking souls, and that's how he was staying alive.
I thought it was just this is he killed this planet. That he's like committed mass genocide.
Yeah.
I'm actually curious to see if this like incident that happened, because like Earth starts to get swallowed up by the weird blue gooey thing.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's going to come into effect later on.
Because it's there. It's they're not going to get rid of it.
I wonder if it's going to be like stone or something like that.
Yeah.
Xandar, we saw a little bit of Xandar.
We saw a little bit on Xandar, yeah.
Not a lot on Xandar. There wasn't really any talk about Nova in this at all.
No.
It's weirdly...
Except he said, like, we don't want to kill the Guardians of the Galaxy. Then the whole Nova Corps will be on us. Yeah.
I mean, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, like, they're the Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know where
the Ravagers would have thought if, let's kill the, like, celebrities of the universe right now. Like... Taserface. Oh my god, that
Taserface. That was so funny. Also when he's burning and he goes up to her and she just starts laughing, the golden girl just starts laughing. That was so funny.
Yeah, the golden
girl, like, just tell them that it was Taserface, and she just starts laughing.
I didn't think that it was that the Sovereign were as menacing as they could have been. Like they're interesting.
Oh no.
These are people that are bred to be perfect organisms, yet they're all not that good at space combat. And that scene where they starts laughing, it's like they're not like they seem so much more human than they're made out to be at the start. Like these like emotionless race, because they're not emotionless in the slightest. Aisha gets so mad.
Oh yeah, she wants to have sex with Peter Quill.
The thought is one of the cool thoughts is that Adam Warlock is born from Peter Quill, celestial Peter Quill, before he lost his powers, and Aisha.
Oh no!
So there's a concept of them having so now. The third Guardians of the Galaxy, if it deals with Adam Warlock, would be about... So we have the first one's Peter Quill's mom, second one's Peter Quill's dad, third one is Peter Quill's son.
I hope. That would be kind of funny.
So that will be an interesting twist. I don't know if they're going to manage to do that.
Doubt it, but that would be really cool.
Rocket gets some interesting connections.
Like this moment, Rocket and Yondu.
Every character here gets to talk about family. Like... Quill talks family with Yondu and his dad, and Gamora talks sisterhood with
sisterhood.
I mean, that was dark to actually.
Except for Groot, but Groot doesn't really talk.
Well, Groot's a child, but like that was like that's so sad with
with
what was done to Nebula. Like that was dark as heck.
Yeah. How do you feel about Marvel taking all these bad guys and saying psych, they're good?
I agree. It's kind of Fast and Furious level.
Yeah.
They're like, surprise, they're now a good guy. I never really believed that Nebula was a good person.
Yeah.
I knew that when Yondu made the switch, it was believable.
Yeah.
I think
Yondu's
flip-flop was understandable.
I didn't even know if it was a flip-flop, or maybe he was just hiding it. Said with Rocket, he said, like, you're the big guy, and, like, you act all cool even though you don't need them, but really you're just down, you're scared inside.
Yeah. I think that I mean, I think this was like the only time I really saw that, because Yondu was kind of an anti-hero. Not anti-hero. He was sort of. Yeah, he was kind of.
He was just a tough guy.
The Ravagers. Yeah. Well, the Ravagers were an anti-hero in the first one.
Oh yeah.
Loki, and Loki is like the only other one I can think of like yeah. bad guy turn. Winter Soldier, another bad guy turned good.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a Civil War spoiler talk thing. Is that like I rewatched Civil War last night? Mm-hmm. Totally wish they should have killed off the Winter Soldier at the end of that. So much that needed to happen. Needed to have that emotional level of why Tony and Steve can't be friends anymore. I think that Tony should have, like, Iron Man should have killed the Winter Soldier. Like that should have been it. I think that's dumb that they saved him.
Yeah.
I think that was dumb, completely dumb. So given some kind of like actual like gravitas to that movie, I felt like there's like Marvel's refusal to kill off people.
Yeah. I agree.
Like
they didn't even kill off Rhodey.
Yeah. Not only did they not kill off Rhodey, then they showed that he could later pilot a suit because he can walk.
It's dumb.
Like, I don't know. I feel like there's a waste of villain
emotion.
Waste of emotion. Yeah. Like we have Quicksilver was the only.
Like Yondu dies. That was one of the best moments of the film.
Yondu's death is like one of the most. I think is the most emotional Marvel death because there just hasn't been any.
Yeah.
Who's the other? What was it? Yondu and Quicksilver.
Quicksilver
was in the movie for one. Was in one movie.
Yeah.
Kind of felt totally like a waste of that character.
Yeah. I hope Scarlet Witch brings him back though.
No.
Scarlet Witch can.
I mean, Scarlet Witch can, but she shouldn't. I think that's dumb that Scarlet Witch would bring him back. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that.
I just think they did Yondu stuff right.
Yes, I think they did Yondu stuff right. But like this, like thing that Marvel won't kill villains, it's going to happen. Not villains, heroes. Because
it's going to happen in Infinity Wars.
But
absolutely.
Like, okay, then Infinity Wars is going to happen, and like 15 of them are going to die, and they're going to be like, what? Why? Like it's going to be like the Harry Potter 7 effect, where like they didn't really kill anybody till 6, and then 6 happens, and then 7, like 10 people die, and you're supposed to feel this emotional weight of all of these characters dying.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
it doesn't work like that. Like one person should die in Infinity War.
Yeah.
Which is not going to happen because it's the end. They need to start cleaning up the slate, so they're going to have to start killing lots of people.
Yeah.
Or no one, because that's what it seems like Marvel does. But that's a story for a year from now when Infinity War's out.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap up the spoiler talk. So, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, big thumbs up from me.
Big thumbs up.
Yeah. I think it's my second favorite.
I saw it twice. And honestly, second time around, I didn't cry at the end.
I'm not trying
to brag or anything. Second time around, it was a lot better, and you noticed a lot of little things.
All right, well, let's not spoil any of those little things. We're about to come up and hit our spoiler-free mark. Overall, well, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, definitely...
Definitely go see it.
It's not in my top 5 favorite Marvel movies, which I kind of wanted it to be, but it's up there.
It's definitely top 5 funniest.
Yeah,
absolutely. It might be the funniest.
And we're back. No more spoilers for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Welcome back, everyone who took their break. Let's talk about. This is our last show of the year, so we're gonna go through at least this semester and just talk about. Some
what
of the highlights.
Yeah.
No, not the summer, just this past semester.
Yeah, this past semester.
We're going to talk about what were some highlights, what we were kind of sad we missed.
Yeah.
So what would you say your favorite movie of this past semester has been?
Honestly, of the past semester, probably Fate.
Fate? Fate's very good.
My favorite in theaters.
Fate was such an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, exactly. That was a theater movie. That was a good theater movie.
Yeah. I'm going to take Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I thought Guardians was, I mean, yeah, it was, it's my favorite film franchise, probably, like the Guardians specifically.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, I love Fate. Fate was a close second. I think my close third right after that, or like tied around with Fate, is, and these are just the ones that, Logan. Logan's my favorite I've seen this.
Oh, movie. Yeah.
Hold up. Yeah, no, Logan
yeah,
I would
Logan's
take
really
as my,
good.
As
yeah.
my favorite.
Logan is so good.
I think that was one of the best wrap ups for one. Some other highlights, Get Out on a second review over. Like, I kind of want to talk about it again. Get Out on a second review over is so much better than the first time around. The second time around, you start picking up on all of the little nuances about it and why it's just such a well-done film.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for its VOD release to rewatch it.
Yeah.
But on second go-around, Get Out is so good.
Yeah.
Like, when you're not expecting the big twist and you're not, like, trying to figure out what it is, and when you stop focusing on this twist that happens,
yeah,
it becomes just fantastic. So Get Out has risen up in my ranking this
year. What about Split?
Split, once again, second watch of Split is very good. Split's up there. I mean, there's been a lot of meh. What would you say your least favorite so far has been, or at least some low light?
Jeez, least favorite in theaters, or just least favorite watch?
I mean, 2017. Least favorite in theater. 2017 of what we've seen in theaters.
You do yours. I'm going to look. I haven't seen a lot.
A lot of people would expect me to say 50 Shades Darker. I kind of liked it. I would say it's currently my lowest ranked because I can understand where the problems are within the film, but I went in with so low expectations.
Yeah.
Film I went in with much higher expectations that largely let me down was Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
That movie did... I could have ranted about how I don't think that movie needed to be made for so long. It is just so... just does not provide any substance to this source material. It does not make anything better than it should have been. Ugh, that movie is just not what I wanted it to be at all. And I think
so honestly, I didn't watch a lot of movies that I didn't like or that I didn't expect to like. So, yeah. What about Kong Skull Island? How does that rank for you?
Kong Skull Island, I think, is about mid-pack. It wasn't as good as the Godzilla reboot. I liked that it was doing something different and unique, but that's about it that I can say about it. All the characters were kind of shelly, not really much going on with them. Lego Batman, huge highlight.
Okay, so let's just quickly do brief break. Let's do movies that we are sad we missed. Lego Batman. I'm really sad I missed that.
Well, it's coming out on VOD soon.
Yeah. John Wick 2, I want to see that.
Also coming out on VOD soon. Great movie. I think that's also about mid-pack for me.
I want to see Ghost in the Shell just to see it.
Yeah.
I think that was a letdown for you as well, but yeah.
Ghost in the Shell, I haven't seen it.
See it. Oh, okay. Probably Beauty and the Beast, I want to see it, even though it's not good.
Don't give it your money, please. It's got so much money already, it doesn't need any more.
That's true.
I
mean, other than that, I guess, I kind of want to see The Great Wall to see how bad it is.
There's some indie stuff I missed that I'm going to want to see later.
Would you suggest Kong?
Kong? Yeah, you'd like it. Some of the stuff, I missed about half or two-thirds of everything that came out.
Yeah.
And stuff that I don't think needs to be seen.
The Case for Christ. Would you want to see that?
No.
Probably not.
Resident Evil Final Chapter, Dog's Purpose, Gold.
I'm going to say Colossal. That's the one with, what's your name?
That's an indie one. I wanted to see Colossal. Raw, T2 Train Spotting.
Gifted.
What's
Chris Evans, the daughter. She's.
Oh, yeah. That's one of his ones. Cute. I didn't see Free Fire. I wanted to see that.
You want to see Lost City Z?
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
There isn't...
What about Born in China?
Nope, not seeing that. Won't be seeing The Circle. Heard that was really bad.
Slight. Slight looks good.
I heard Slight's good. Going in Style, no interest. I skipped ones that I didn't like.
But I'm so excited for The Wall. Oh, my goodness.
Dude, why?
Dude, it looks so good.
I will disagree with you.
I'll let you know. I'll go see it.
Let's just talk about what we're going to be doing in the future of this show.
In the future, I'm planning to be a mathematician.
We'll be doing summer reviews for everybody. So we'll be recording stuff and putting it up on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Which you can find on our Facebook page.
Well, I know what you're excited for this summer.
I mean, yeah, and reviews are already starting to come out for it. I've watched much of the promo material for it. I've only seen the trailer a couple times.
Yeah.
And I've seen the prologues once each. And I started hearing the reviews for it. Reviews for Alien Covenant are pretty high.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, it's better than Prometheus, which is I love Prometheus.
Although a lot of people hate Prometheus, so a lot of people are going to be like, oh, it's better than Prometheus.
A lot of people don't
understand
Prometheus.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really anything that came out.
Yeah, I'm excited for Baywatch. That's going to be a blast.
Yeah, Baywatch looks fun. XXX didn't see that.
I did not see
Underworld Blood Wars. These are ones I'll probably catch up when they're on Netflix or something like that.
Yeah.
Collide, Space Between Us, Rings.
Which one's Collide?
It's the one where it's Nicholas Hoult and Felicity Jones. It's set in Germany.
Oh yeah,
it was it's one of those ones they had to shelve and was released outside the U.S.
Space Between Us. I see that with a friend. It's a really really cute movie and it's really sad.
I just have no interest in seeing it.
It's a fun date movie. That's about it. It's not great.
I'm single, so it doesn't really work for me.
Yeah.
Circle. I mean, yeah. So I would say there really isn't much that came out that I didn't really want to see. Yeah, it's March. I think February was the best month this year so far.
Yeah.
With Get Out and Cure for Wellness, 50 Shades was better than I expected. Lego Batman is one of the best I remember from this year. John Wick. And then, like, March had its, like, moments. It had, like, big releases.
Yeah.
But then April had, like, one big release. And so far, May, we've had one weekend worth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's summer. We've talked about the summer enough already. Let's see what else we have to talk about. All right, well, let's start closing up the show.
Let's do box office. I want to see how much Guardians sweats.
Not yet. We're gonna be doing coming soon to theaters because I think that's important. We're gonna do a short show today, guys. It's coming soon to theaters. We do have some interesting stuff.
We do, yeah.
Josh's favorite, The Wall, comes out next week.
Yes. I'm excited, dude.
That's you know just it's know just you.
You're don't the, don't judge it until you've seen it, or don't judge it until I've seen it. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
We got your favorite, Snatched.
Good Lord, this is an... I'm just not a fan of Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
I mean, this looks like a little bit more of a watchable movie than a lot of Amy Schumer's other stuff.
Trainwreck, yeah.
Trainwreck was a train wreck. We have Lowriders comes out next week.
I don't even know what Lowriders is.
And then a movie that's been getting good reviews, King Arthur, Legend of Sword.
Looks so weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those ones where if it gets good reviews, I'll go see it.
Yeah.
And then, that's coming out next week. I guess...
You just want to go to the next week to...
Alien.
Talk about Diary of the Wimpy Kid.
No, stop. Alien Covenant. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, sure, I'll talk about that a lot. If it's as good as I want it to be, I will probably have it in my top one next start of the
season. Top one?
My favorite movie. I mean, I'm expecting this to be my favorite movie of the year. Yeah.
Everything looks good, too. It looks cute. It looks silly.
Let's see. I don't know what that one's about.
That's the one with the girl who can't go outside her house because of her some condition with her, but then she finds a guy and they go out of the house.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So Blu-rays being released next week is the May 9th. Wow. That's lame. 50 Shades Darker. That's it? Yep.
That is disappointing.
For all you 50 Shades fans, you're going to get your Blu-ray. VOD, a lot more interesting. VOD, we have a giant list. We have The Return of Xander Cage.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no. These are already came out. We have Get Out, The Great Wall, and My Life as Zucchini.
Oh, okay. My Life as Zucchini was nominated for an Oscar, right?
Yes, it was. And then we're going to talk box office.
Yes, please. I have a crazy idea. I think I know what got first.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This might be the first weekend that 50, not 50 Shades, Fate. Yeah, this is the first weekend Fate didn't top. Holy cow! Open domestic Guardians of the Galaxy. Open domestic. Don't look it up. What's your estimate? Oh, domestic only.
120.
145 million.
Wow, that's its budget was about 200 million. So,
yeah. It destroyed this weekend. Coming in second was Fate with 8.5. Boss Baby still in the top five again in its sixth week at 6.1.
It's a family movie out right now.
How to Be a Latin Lover at 5.2.
Opened up. How to Be a Latin Lover, I think, is doing well then.
Beauty and the Beast 4.9. Circle 4.0. Bahubali 2.
Oh,
3.2. I want to talk about last week. Last week's box office. So let's hop back to April 20th, 30. All right. So Fate leads the weekend at 20. This is last weekend. 20 million. Okay, that's fine. The Circle, the new wide release in 3,000 theaters opened at 9. It opened in the 5th spot behind Boss Baby at 9.3, which is behind both How to Be a Latin Lover and Bahubali 2. Bahubali 2 opens at $10.4 million only on 425 screens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It opened at $10 million. It averaged $24,000 a screen, which I
believe... And that's for Bahubali.
Which is... I mean, that's not as high as Guardians. But, like, that's a foreign film opening at that high. And How to Be a Latin Lover opened at 12.2 on 1,000 screens. Like, that's huge. These are two movies that are opening at just insane amounts on our screens, despite both being foreign movies.
Yeah.
opening up higher than a movie that has one of the most impressive. I mean, The Circle's cast is insane with Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Bahubali 2 creates history, the most, the highest grossing Indian movie ever.
That's impressive. It's supposed to be like their Lord of the Rings. I mean, didn't do what Lord of the Rings did. Fate of the Furious broke $1 billion.
Yay! Is it higher than Beauty and the Beast right now?
I mean, as domestic, no. As foreign, I believe, yes.
Yay!
Let's see. Domestically, in 2017, domestic totals currently are number one, Beauty and the Beast, at 487. This is just domestic. Logan at 2, 225. Yep. Fate of the Furious at 3, 207. Lego Batman at 4, with 174. Get Out, $173 million on its open in this year with a budget of like 4.5.
Is that abroad?
No, that's just in domestic. That's insane. Number rolling 6, Kong Skull Island with 165. Rolling number 7, The Boss Baby. Who would have thought? The Boss Baby. And the then number 8, the first opening of our summer, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Okay.
Fate of the Furious, how much does Fate of the Furious have right now?
207 domestic, 1.1 overall.
So it's ahead of Beauty and the Beast.
I think there are, Beauty and the Beast is 1.185, Fate is 1.158. Beauty and the Beast is beaten.
They're 30,000.
Which will probably change next year.
They're 30 million away. 30 million
next weekend, that's going to change. Please. I mean, Fate racks in just insane.
How much did Fate get this week?
I mean, Fate's done this in half the time that Beauty has.
Yeah.
This is, it's currently been in since 3.4 weeks currently.
Huh. Yeah.
So it's just, it's cruising along. I wouldn't be surprised Guardians racks in billion overall.
Easily. Yeah.
It is not, it opened worldwide at, it opened world foreign at 282. So it's worldwide right now at 427.
Okay.
Which is,
it's something.
I mean, that's
pretty good.
That's only like 100 short of what Fate did.
Yeah.
Fate opened.
It's gonna be close. It's getting at least 850 million. Whether it'll beat the billion, I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. All right, thank you guys all for listening. This has been you've been listening to WJH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This has been Animatronic Dinosaurs with your host Allie Rosen and your other host
Joshua Nolan. This is it.
This might be Josh's last show too
for the semester.
For another semester,
I will be back.
He will be back, but it might just be me and Matt next
time. I'll call in. All right, guys. Till next summer.